I am Elle Penelope, author of epic fantasy and paranormal romance, and welcome to My Imaginary Friends, a look behind the scenes of an author mapping the worlds in my head and making them a reality. Hello, friends. Today is Sunday, August 16th, 2020, and this is episode 81 of My Imaginary Friends. I'm Leslie. So this week's best thing is the launch of Cry of Metal and Bone, book three of the Earthsinger Chronicles. It came out this past Tuesday, and I've had several events. I have one more to go coming up this week to celebrate the launch. It's been great. It's actually been, for me, like the feedback has been more than I've gotten on any other book launch. And I think the series is really picking up steam, and I'm really excited about that. So if you're listening to this in real time, the next event is with Mysterious Galaxy Books. I will be in conversation with fantasy author Kay Arsenault Rivera, and it's happening on Thursday the 20th at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern. I think I have that right. Check the show notes or my website for details, and you can order a signed copy of Earthsinger Chronicles, any of the three books. I have them downstairs in my dining room. They sent me boxes of books to sign, and I'll be personalizing them after the event. So if you haven't got your copy yet and you would like a personalized copy, there is still time to buy one from Mysterious Galaxy. So yes, that'll be fun. I'm going to take pictures of me signing all of these books. I should take pictures of the boxes that are stacked up on the dining room table now. Launch week was full of ups and downs. On launch day in the morning, Stokely, our kitten, who is, I can't call him a kitten for much longer because he is 11 months old. He'll be a year. At the end of September, I have to check the date that they gave us when we adopted him, his birth date. But yeah, Stokely pulled a runner. He decided to escape. He is really attracted to the outside. He will stand at the back door to the deck and just meow for like 15, 20 minutes at a time. And this is not the first time he's gotten out. It will not be the last, because he got out like 3 days later again. He managed to push open the glass screen door. It was open just a crack, and he just wedged, and we had no idea he was that strong. So on launch morning, he bounced out. He slips out when we open the door to take the dogs out. And we usually keep a spray bottle there to spray him to keep him from running out the door. But yeah, he made it out. He's very, very fast. And he was gone for a couple of hours. And I was just like, is that the end of Stokely? Will I never see this cat again? But I know from experience that he's too fast to catch. And we try to keep an eye on him, but there's a bunch of trees. There's like a wooded area right behind us and between us and the chickens. And then, you know, neighbors have a lot of trees, and just, he's a small black cat. But a couple hours later, he waltzed back onto the deck, and I opened the door for him, and he came right back in the house. And that's been the case every time he's gotten out. He's eventually just come back and walked through the door on his own. So he's an indoor cat. I don't want him to be an outdoor cat. Technically, he's not supposed to be, because our adoption contract was like in there. It said he's going to be an indoor cat. And he wants to be an outdoor cat. So we'll see. You know, book launches are full of, you know, social media posts and then trying to reply to people and who are, you know, commenting and congratulating you. And then I had the event that night, and there was other drama surrounding the event, because while I was having pet drama, my guest for the event, Angelina M. Lopez, was having pet drama. She had to take her dog to the emergency room, and we weren't sure if she was going to even be there. And it was just a lot going on that day. So luckily, Stokely came back, and luckily, Angelina's dog is okay for now. He is 15. So, and I totally empathize with that. You know, Sable is 14 almost. And there's some days when, you know, just a lot of days, I actually just go check and make sure she's still breathing, because I'm not sure how long that's going to happen for. And so many authors have pets, and they're so important to us. And, you know, we have four. These are our family, you know, our pets are our family. And I wouldn't have expected, you know, her to show up if one of her sons was in the emergency room. So I was like, yeah, I get it. If you can't come, then no worries. I didn't want her to stress about it, if possible. But yeah, it worked out, and we had a great event that night. And then other events have happened and been really wonderful. And so, yeah, and I'm kind of still reeling from it. I've been trying to build in rest, because each event it's not just because I'm sitting in my chair and I'm in my house, you know, and I've talked about this before, it requires no less energy than being at an in-person event. It just requires less travel. There's still the buildup that I have and the nerves and the excitement and, you know, pushing through introversion and then kind of afterwards with a little bit of a crash and the rest period, and then you gear up for the next one. Also dealing with the deadline, so writing update, moving right along on my revision of Requiem of Silence, book 4, and that is still going really well. I had a situation this week with a scene that I didn't want to write, and I had gotten a little bit behind because I didn't want to write it because I knew it was going to be hard. It was a brand new scene from scratch, and then I looked at it and I was like, it was kind of replacing a previous scene. So part of me, because I had this lack of desire to write it, I was like, well, can I just salvage the old scene? How much of this really has to be new? And then I read through it and I was like, no. And then I did a fast draft of it and it still wasn't feeling right. And I was like, maybe I can cut this. Do I really even really need the scene? What is even happening here? How is it pushing the story forward? That was just laziness. And, you know, sometimes you have to recognize whether something is laziness or whether something is actually, okay, the book doesn't need this scene. The scene is not moving the story forward. But after considering it, I was like, no, this is actually really, I need the scene to push the character forward. And I need to introduce this other character on the page. We've talked about this, a secondary character, but I need to at least see this person at this point early, because we see him again later. And introducing a new character on the page in the last third or fourth of the book is generally not a good idea. A case where it worked the other way was Song of Blood and Stone. Like, the True Father is the main antagonist of the series. You don't see him on the page until the very end of the book, but he's been felt the whole way through. And that worked. In this case, I was just being lazy. And I felt that I really needed to see this character before the end. So I just, you know, got myself together, put on my big girl panties, and dove in to work on that scene. And it ended up being like my favorite scene so far of the book. It was hard to write. It was emotional to write. It was exhausting, but I love it. Sometimes you just have to do the hard thing. And knowing when to do the hard thing and knowing when the hard thing is actually a message to you that this is a problem and we need to step back and figure it out is something that, you know, you kind of have to learn. In other instances, when there's scenes that I just don't want to write, it is because either the way I've planned them out is faulty, or they don't need to be there, or some other change needs to happen. And so that evaluation period was really important for me to just step back, take stock of my feelings about it. Like, why don't I want to write this scene? What is it about it? Oh, it's just hard. I know it's going to take like 4 hours to get the scene right. And I don't feel like doing it today, but I have to. The other part of it was really breaking down what was going to happen. Like, I had a high level overview of the action of the scene, but I broke it down even further. And that helped me when I needed to sit down and actually get the words down. The other thing, those of you who've been listening for a while will know that I have two deadlines coming up. And so I did finally start really digging into the third novella. And I reread again, because I had recently reread the first draft. I had a fast draft that I wrote a year ago. I wrote it when I was first working on Requiem of Silence, because this is the prequel novella to that, and I needed to know what happened before I dug into the revision. So I have a fast draft that is very, very messy and actually very wrong, because over the course of the past year, I've realized, oh, I'm approaching that story from the wrong direction. It needs a big change. And I've been, part of the reason why I've been putting off working on that is because I know it's a lot of work. That's another laziness reason, you know? But I sat down and I did it, you know, about a week later than I wanted to do it. I reread it again and I charted it out on the story grid. So I made a paper spreadsheet, did it by hand on two pieces of legal sized paper, and just charted out what happened in the scene, my regular story grid, the values at stake, the polarity change of each scene, whether it had one or not, turning points, and then the time, the duration, the location, and the characters on stage. And it's the stuff, what I have is not bad. Like, most scenes had a turning point. They had a value at stake. They had a polarity change, which is where, you know, each scene should go from positive to negative or negative to positive. Something should change in the scene, the value at stake. And that's part of the story grid process. What I had written is not bad, but this is a tricky novella. I can't tell you exactly why it's tricky right now, because it would be full of spoilers, but it is tricky. And I have to change one of the POV characters, or add a new POV character. There are going to be three, and right now there are only two. And I do not yet have a full arc for this third character, but I know he needs to be there. Or at least I think right now, I think strongly he needs to be there. I might have to evaluate that a little bit more, but my gut is telling me that that's the case. And so, yeah, I need to kind of craft another POV, reduce one of the other characters' POVs, because that character did not actually have an arc. He's just, you know, I was like, oh, I need to do two POVs. Let me just alternate. And these characters are separated for part of the story. But while they're separated, the heroine has a journey. And this hero, well, I'll call him a hero for the sake of argument. He didn't really have a lot going on. And that needs to change too. So, yeah, a lot of work has to be done on this novella. This is the one for the anthology Under Winter Sky. And I know that Jeffy Kennedy, who is part of the anthology, also said on her podcast that mine is just all done. I have a first draft done. My first drafts are nothing anywhere close to the final draft. So my process is vomit out the first draft, like my screenwriting professor used to say. Vomit out the first draft and then clean it up and make it into something that is not vomit. So dealing with these deadlines, one is September 15th, the other is October 1st, which is aggressive. I've been really trying to improve my stress management. And I think I've been doing a good job. I am breathing really deeply. So when I get stressed, it's very tight in my chest and I have a hard time taking deep breaths. So that's been what I've been working on. And that's kind of a key to letting me know how stressed I am. So as part of that, I've been doing a 7-day yoga challenge. I've been doing 15 minutes of yoga every morning, which has helped a lot. In the evenings, the evening yoga hasn't worked out so well. I was trying to do like bedtime yoga, but what has been working is using my Theragun at night. So for Christmas, my husband bought me a Theragun, which is this thing my physical therapist had recommended. It's like a massage gun, sort of. So there's an app that you can use, and there's kind of like a bedtime massage routine. So I run it over my neck and my forearms, thighs, shins, feet, and back. And it's 6 minutes. And it really does kind of help to, I hold a lot of tension everywhere. I was used to getting monthly massages. I have not felt comfortable going back to the massage parlor for that since COVID. And so I'm really, really missing my massages because my neck feels like it's full of rocks. And it's just a lot of tension and being on the computer all the time. So I've really been trying to focus on that. So yeah, using the Theragun has been helpful for my stress management, at least trying to loosen up my shoulders and neck at night. Aromatherapy. I've had this aromatherapy misting device and I started using that again. So with lavender essential oils. Growing up, my mother had a sensitivity to scents, so we could never like burn candles. There was no air freshener in the house. Like, she just didn't like scents. She liked perfume, which on like conversely, I can't wear perfume. But I can use like aromatherapy, incense, candles, and things like that. But I don't like strong scents on myself. My husband loves his cologne. And I'm always trying to get him to use about half as much as he uses. Like, I feel like he doesn't need all of those spritzes because it's just like, oh my gosh, I can't breathe. That's just a me thing. So anyway, aromatherapy is very nice. The lavender, because it's diffused through this misting thing, so it's not super heavy. And I find it calming. I've been trying to do more meditation. Going outside helps, walking the dog a little bit more, or even just hanging out in the screened-in porch, which I'm really enjoying, going out there to read. So really focusing on de-stressing myself and managing the stress that I have to the best of my ability. And so far, I feel like I'm doing a pretty decent job. As time goes by and it's ups and downs, like if I get behind in my schedule, I'll start feeling it more and I'll probably have to dial up the stress management a little bit. But yeah, that's what I am attempting to do to keep myself sane, to keep myself from burning out, you know, to keep myself healthy. I also had a guest post in Locus Magazine online called The Optimism of Fantasy. And I wrote it back in March, I believe. So I didn't remember it when I read it again. I'm like, did I write this? This is good. I really like this post. And my agent was like, that post was fantastic. And I'm like, yeah, it was. I don't know. I don't remember writing that at all. But I do remember sort of the feelings behind it. And talking about, like, what do you want people to feel when they read this book? And talking about how I'm ending the series and I want to end it with optimism. And that's something I've really struggled with because the Ursinger Chronicles, you know, it deals with a lot of real life issues, racism, xenophobia, things like that. And that is something that is, you know, kind of always on my mind as I'm working on this fourth book and really trying to improve it and make sure that I'm meeting that goal, that I'm ending the series with optimism, but not fairy tale optimism. You know, the whole, which is interesting because I kind of envisioned the first book as a sort of fairy tale. There is like this magical quality. There's this realism balanced with fantasy, and not just the magic part of fantasy, but the love story part of fantasy and lightness. I don't want these books to be heavy and drag you down. It's a lot of balancing I think I'm doing. I started listening to this audiobook of a book that I really wanted to read, and it's taking place in the slavery era. And like in the first couple of chapters, somebody gets whipped, and I took a break from that book. I'm like, I don't know if I can deal with this right now. I'm not really drawn to slave books anymore. I feel like I've read a lot of them, and you know, it's a weight, it's a heaviness, it's a cultural weight, I think, that we hold, descendants of slaves. And sometimes, you know, ingesting media about that is not where I want my mental state to be. So I was a little disappointed about that because I didn't think that's where this book was going to be going. And I'm wondering if I'm going to even finish it, but I think I had a point and I've forgotten it. Oh, well, anyway, talking about recommendations, I put out a call on Twitter for low angst romances. I think it was after I pressed pause on this slave narrative that I was just like not feeling. And so, yeah, I got a lot of great recommendations. By low angst, I meant very little conflict. You know, sometimes, and as much as I talk about conflict in writing, and I do talk about it a lot because I think it's important most of the time. But sometimes you can get away with a book with very little conflict, and it is wonderful. It is exactly what people need at certain times in their lives. And so that is what I was craving. I wanted a low stress romance where I wasn't too worried. I mean, you're never worried about whether the two main characters are going to get together at the end because it is a romance. But there is a level of emotional worry that a good writer is able to put into the book. And that's really nice to have when you're into that. But when I'm not into it, I just want to sit down and luxuriate in the fact that these people are definitely getting together and there's very little barrier to that happening. I got some good recommendations. Lucy Eden, I binged several of Lucy Eden's books because they are like that and I enjoyed them very much. And they're short. I also read In One Night, You Had Me at Hola by Alexis Daria, which I would not categorize as low angst per se, but it's still a wonderful book. I think she has good conflict in there. It's not like super stressful, but it's emotional and it brings you where you need to be. So I think I binged a bunch of like very low angst and then I cracked open my copy of You Had Me at Hola because I was ready to go back to a little bit more conflict. So that's wonderful. It's gotten a lot of buzz. And if you haven't read it, it's fantastic. Also, in recommendations, last night we watched Project Power on Netflix, which I've seen some mixed reviews about, honestly. I really enjoyed it. It's with Jamie Foxx and Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Dominique Fishback. And it's about, you know, a different take on powers. This pill gives you powers for 5 minutes and you don't know what power you're going to get. Like, everyone has a different thing inside of them that this pill unlocks. I enjoyed the movie a lot. I thought it was really well done. I thought it was well directed. It's great that there are, you know, Black women in it and brown-skinned Black women in it, which you don't always get. The critiques of the film that I've seen are that it's kind of a waste of a good premise with a sort of a cliched story. I didn't find the story cliche. I found it sort of normal. Like, there weren't surprises and twists and crazy things happening, but it was a very solid action movie. It was very entertaining. And so I would recommend that too. So my goals for the coming week are to stay on schedule, really try to work harder on getting those two writing sessions in every day, or most days, maybe not every day, but I can plan to have a second writing session to work on the novella. And that is what I'm going to be focused on. Before I go, I'm going to let the ladies at Not Your Mom's Romance Book Club tell you about their lovely podcast.
Hi, my name is Ellen.
And I'm Ellen's mom.
And together we host Not Your Mom's Romance Book Club, part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Our podcast is basically like having a book club with your gal pal and her mom who thinks she's part of the gang and won't leave you alone.
Lame, whatever.
Kidding, to a degree. We post new episodes every Monday and you can find us on social media at Not Your Mom's Rom. Find Not Your Mom's Romance Book Club wherever your favorite podcasts are sold for free. And happy romancing.
So I hope that you all have a wonderful week, and I'll talk to you next week. In the meantime, happy reading. For episode show notes and to sign up for the Footnotes newsletter, go to myimaginaryfriendsshow.com. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and watch the video episodes on YouTube. I would really love a rating or review to help support the show. And My Imaginary Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. For more fantastic podcasts, go to frolic.media/podcasts.